We just know her as a woman at the well. How many other women went to that well? And so in the midst of all, she still remains unidentified. And so really in my mind, that means we can all in some way identify with her. We all need water to stay alive. She was there that morning looking for that. Maybe you see this picture up here in front of me. It's an interesting picture. It's one in which has hung in my office for many, many years. It is a gift from my wife to I. It was given to me on our 25th wedding anniversary in a time of my life in which I was going through cancer treatment after surgery on my right lung. It was a time in which the doctors looked at me and said, the cancer you have is incurable and untreatable. And you have about 3 to 4 months remaining in your life. That was over 12 years ago. Maybe you are facing a tidal wave today that seems to be overwhelming you in some ways. But like the man in this lighthouse, I stood safe and secure from all alarm in the presence of an almighty God. You too can be in the midst of that and be sustained by Him, Jesus Christ. And Him alone. And so it's interesting that the woman would come to the well, and it's even more interesting that Jesus was even at the well that morning. He shouldn't even been, as a good Jewish rabbi, passing through Samaria, much less stopping along the way in order to see who was at Jacob's well. But the Spirit of God leading our Savior to this place has a meeting, a divine appointment with a woman. You know, it's interesting because Jesus went out of His way to get in her way. And sometimes I want us to have that attitude. We need to get out of our way, out of ourselves, out of what's going on, to get in somebody's way who needs to hear something, know something, feel something, be prayed in some way. And so really I ask the question, why did Jesus go out of His way to get in her way? Because she mattered. That's why, because she was worth the extra effort, the extra miles, the extra distance. She was worth it because she was lost and because Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. That's why He ended up there. We need to recognize that what Jesus was doing on this side trip to a well in Samaria was, it's not just what He was doing, but how He was doing it. I want us to look this morning at three things. Seeking the soul of the Samaritan woman would be the first thing. Seeking the souls in this city would be the next thing. Because Jesus and that Samaritan woman then went and witnessed to the whole city. And then seeking to renovate and release out disciples once they come. Seeking the soul of the Samaritan woman is an interesting thing. See, Jesus journeyed to a land out of His way. It was not on the way to where He was going. It was out of the way. Are we willing to go out of our way? If that's where God calls us. Christ took time out of a busy schedule. He had many things to do. Last week we learned that the Gospel of John, the very final verse, says if all the miracles that Jesus did were written in books, that all the world would not be able to contain those books. He was a busy man doing the ministry in the 3.5 years in which He was called to minister here amongst us. But the question is, are we also willing to be disturbed from our busy lives and schedules? Are we willing to be interrupted when Christ wants to erupt on the stage of someone's life? Samaria was a very uncomfortable place to be. Living in a homeless position, living in a destitute spot, living in poverty or living in even excess of life and the riches it offers and the comforts can be a very hard place to live if you don't have Christ. Question is, are we willing to go where others will not? Are we willing? Jesus was willing to go out of his way. He was willing to go where he wasn't supposed to be. Samaria was looked down upon as a cesspool of really the area. All the good Jews would walk around it rather than go through it. But Jesus is found going through it and stopping at the well along the way. I think sometimes we need to break down those boundaries that we put up in our lives, whether they're social economic boundaries, whether they're ethnical boundaries, or whatever type of boundary may have come in place. I would encourage you to look at it, evaluate it, and take a brick out rather than cementing one in. Because God wants us to reach all that are lost. He came to seek and save all. Some people use politics as a boundary. And I understand the divisiveness of some of the platforms in which we know and the political parties. But it is not the donkey or the elephant that will save you. It is the Lamb of God. And we need to come together in unity as a nation, as a people, as a church, and as a community to love Christ irregardless of the political affiliation we may have. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with the work of the cross. But yet it divides us all too often from coming together and working as a family of God. Jesus lived in a land in which it was overtaken by another empire. The Romans came in. Caesar brought his army. They were oppressors and a foreign government in their land. Jesus never spoke out about the government systems. He spoke about the love of God, his Father, and the need for us to come to him. And so, can we set aside our social economics? Can we set aside our ethnical backgrounds? Can we set aside all of our intellectual understandings? Can we set aside all of our political affiliations? Can we just come to the cross of Christ and at the foot of that, know the love of God and share it in the same way? That's what Jesus was doing for the Samaritan woman that morning. He came at a time. Not only did he journey out of a land, out of his way, but he came at a time that was not convenient. Verse 6 in the same passage says, it was about the sixth hour when he came. That's interesting because at about the sixth hour is when the sun is really at the highest in the sky. It's the heat of the day. And this is not when you would go to a well. And in the ancient times, in their manners and their customs, what they would have done was either come at the dawning of the day or at the end of the day when the sun was down and the water wasn't warmed up, when it was still cool for the drinking and the use. They would come during those times of day when the heat wasn't beating on them and the labor wouldn't cause the sweating and the excess loss of energy. They would come during the cool of the day to get the cool water and to labor in the carrying of the water in the coolness of the day. This is in the heat of the day. And so then the question begs, why? Why? I mean, she could have came in the first 3 hours. She could have come in the last 3 hours of the day. But she came in the midst of the day. I think she came at the midst of the day because of shame. Simply because of shame. She was in a town and everybody knew everybody. And everybody knew everything about everybody. And we're going to learn here that Jesus tells her, well, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. And maybe there was a little shame she felt in her life. Maybe she didn't want to bump into the other people. Maybe she wanted to keep a little social isolation, distance. Do you hear those words lately? From the rest of the crowd. Because she was ashamed to be there, to be called names, to be looked at, to have words spoken behind her back. People whispering. Maybe you can relate to needing to come to the well in the middle of the day. Maybe you feel like somehow people talk about you or say things behind your back, or in the town, everybody's talking about everything you do. And though I don't think that's necessarily always true, I think we oftentimes find ourselves thinking that. She certainly was at this point. Jesus knew when he came in the midst of the day to that well that she would be isolated and alone with him. He was setting up a divine appointment with the King of Kings. He knew he would have the necessary time and attention to minister to him the way in which he needed. He prophetically told her all that she ever did. From her own tongue, she says, "He told me all that I ever did. Come see the Christ, the Messiah." Are you willing to be interrupted by our Lord at times which are not necessarily convenient, but they're always correct? And that's the question for us. Are we willing to be interrupted inconveniently by God? In our estimation, God, I can't do that now. But it's a correct time now. And I don't know about your week, but I know my week was fluid and changing. Well, by the phone call, by the email, by the text message, by every decision that it seemingly I had to make this week. Gathering people together, trying to make the best decisions based on the best information, how to best then serve the love of Christ to the people of God. It was a fluid situation, changing rapidly and constantly. By the time one person would offer advice, I just simply look and say, well, that's been overcome by events. Now let's move on from that one into the next. And it was rapidly changing. My son will be returning tomorrow from Tennessee. They are shutting down the university. For 2 weeks, they're going online in their studies. Maybe many of you know those kinds of situations. He doesn't know how he's going to do online studies. How do you do a music program online? They have yet to answer that question for him or I. But that's what they're going to do. And then I ask the questions of, are we being cheated out of that student loan? That costs a lot more than they think. Because you still have to pay that. And then if it's diminished quality of learning, can't we just have a diminished quality of payment? Those questions aren't going to be answered the way we want them, but they're being asked, aren't they? And it's a fluid and constantly changing. When people say social isolation, 6 governors in our nation have called for no one to gather. Not even families, they are saying, should gather together. Social isolation for the next 2 to 3 weeks completely. And I understand the concerns. And the CDC on the federal side says 250 people, no larger than. If larger than that, shut it down. And I understand the concerns. And our state is saying similar as the federal CDC. And we have to make choices and decisions on these things. And we get together. And then I say, okay, but there's 44 governors that haven't shut it down. And the question begs, why? Because they haven't found it prudent to do so yet. So 6 haven't, 44 haven't. And so things are constantly changing. And one of the constants that are changing in our lives in the next week or two is going to be fear, whether or not it comes along, whether that wave is hitting and crashing against the lighthouse that you find yourself within. And that will change. It will come in bursts. It will try to overtake. It will try to captivate your heart. And you have to face the only thing that will come against fear is faith. Faith in an almighty God, his hand, is upon his sons and daughters. I am a realist, but I am a Christian man who is a realist. And so I believe God and his word for all that it says. And then I do all I can to minimize exposure and promote good health and hygiene. So don't hug, don't shake hands, do a elbow or a toe tap or whatever you want. It's all part of the process. And okay, some people say keep 3 feet distance. Some people say 6 feet. The hospitals can't even decide what they want to do. I went up to the hospital on Wednesday this week to see somebody in surgery. Prayed for them just before. Not a problem. I mean, you just walk up, talk to the receptionist, go on in, pray with the people, and they go on in and come out, praise God, feeling better, going home, right? Go in the next day, approach the same receptionist in the same building doing the same thing, and there's a huge table in front. Keep your distance. Hand sanitizer is being handed out all over. And it's all wisdom, I guess, in some ways. It's, you know, distance and isolation and those kinds of things. But in just one period, one day, it all changed. And there's one period in this woman's life where it's all going to change. And the only thing that really, truly can change it is Jesus Christ. And so I don't know what's going to change in your week this week. It's not going to look like the last few weeks. It's going to be different. It's never been done like this before. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ will be in the midst of it. And he's getting ready to interrupt somebody's day. And he wants to use you to bring the confidence of Christ into that situation. The whole idea behind encouraging and edifying one another, that word encouragement is a transfer. The EN is nothing more than a prefix to the word courage. It's a transference of what lives in you into the one who is before you. Have the courage of Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah within you, and pass that courage into the next one. And know this too shall pass in the name of Jesus. The Samaritan woman, she was there at the sixth hour. She did all these things, and it wasn't a convenient time. But it was always correct, wasn't it? Jesus poured out his spirit upon her, those living waters. John in the 7th chapter, the 37th verse, it says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes unto me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow living waters. Let those living waters be in your belly today. Stir those living waters up. Let them come forth. If there's anything crashing upon the righteous strong tower that I run into, let it be living waters coming forth out of my belly. It's interesting because we look at that, and as Pentecostal people, we talk about Joel 2:28, and it's good that we do, and it's right that we embrace that. And if you're not familiar with it, it says there that in the last days, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. He's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. It's the living waters that are coming alive within the people. If you read to the end of Joel, if you actually make it past the second chapter and the 28th verse, the only one we ever seem to speak about, and you make it into the third chapter and the 18th verse, what you're going to find out is it says there is a fountain coming out of the house of the Lord. You are the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. Know you not that you are that tabernacle? And out of the house of the Lord shall flow rivers of living water, and they shall water the whole valley. The whole valley. And our community and our state and our nation needs a refreshing. They need a rejuvenation. They need a renovation that only God can bring. And he desires to bring it out of your belly. You are those living waters. Here's the interesting thing. It says it will be a fountain. I'm sticking very close to this today, aren't I? It's because of the camera. Hi, everybody out there. And I want them to see all and hear all too. And so dynamically, this is changing, isn't it? You're used to me going back and forth and seeing some things. And, hallelujah, Lord. I feel like I'm on a leash. fountain. Out of your bellies, out of the house of the Lord, you are the tabernacle. There's living waters within you. Out of that tabernacle, the house of the Lord, there will come living waters. Do you understand that there's a difference in how that water comes out? There are wells that you know, this Jacob's well that Jesus is at with the Samaritan woman. It's a well where they have to drop down a rope and a bucket in order to get water, the only way. But this in Joel is talking about a different kind of fountain. It's talking about a fountain that is under pressure. It's called an artesian well. An artesian well is under pressure. It's under pressure for a reason, because when it's under pressure, the waters come up out of the ground. You ever seen a bubbling well? It's under pressure. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit stopped by just to let somebody know. The pressure you're feeling, all of those things, all of that stress, all of that anxiety, it's just there to make those living waters come forth today, that it might bring a refreshing. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll prove it to you. It says in the Joel 3 and 18, it says when that comes out, it'll water the whole valley, and it names the valley. In the Hebrew, the name is Shittim. The root of that is Shittah. If you want to use a linear number in the lexicon and look it up, it's 7848. 7848. Look it up. Because it means lonely. This valley, it's called lonely. And I don't know what everybody is saying, but I hear a lot of what they're saying. And I think social isolation is going to make some people lonely. I think social distancing is going to make some people lonely. I think just the way things are happening, closing down of universities and schools are going to make some people lonely. I think the closing down of jobs and sending people home is going to make some people lonely. I think right here today, we need something, living waters coming out of people who are under pressure to bring a regeneration to that valley. It said it would drip down with new wine, and a refreshing to all there. Oh, Jesus, help us. See, Jesus Christ is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh today. There's a fountain coming forth from the house of the Lord, and that is you. And this fountain will water the whole lonely valley. Every inch of your despair is being changed. Every inch of the need of those in whom you love. Everybody you walk into or talk into this week can have those living waters flowing over their lonely valley. Embrace the flood of his mercy. Embrace the flood of his mercy. Seeking the souls in all the city. I will need to go fast if I can. John the 4th chapter, 28 through the 30th. Tell us, the woman left her water pot and went into the way into the city and said to them, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and they came on to him. There was revival in the land. See, Jesus Christ came seeking the souls of all in the city, not just those here in this congregation today. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but he is seeking you today. He wants you to come to him. Maybe this is your opportunity. Maybe if you have a loved one who is lost, maybe if we cry out their name today, the winds of the Holy Spirit will carry it to their ears and they will come and call upon the name of Jesus today. I believe God can do all these things. The woman was willing to leave her secular work to go do sanctified work. You may be sent home from your secular work today. You may be sent home from your secular work this week, but there is sanctified work waiting for all to do in the city. She left her water pot and she went back to the city. She was sent to get water. She left it and she took living water. It's interesting because all she really did was speak her testimony. Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. He's the Christ. Wow. And they came to hear. And so really, Revelations 12 and 11 is true. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Just allow the blood of the Lamb. Don't worry about the donkey. Don't worry about the elephant. Worry about the blood of the Lamb. Just let the blood of the Lamb be right there and the word of your testimony. Don't argue with people about doctrine. It's no good. We're not called to argue doctrine. I talk to theologians. I talk to people who study the Word of God. I talk to other people, and we have discourse, and we have conversation. And you know, for 2,000 years, ever since it's been written, people have been discussing it. They still haven't come to an agreement on some areas of it, and that's okay. But we can agree on the foundational of it. But the simple fact of it is, we don't have to talk about doctrine. We can talk about our testimony. When I tell you Jesus Christ miraculously healed me of incurable, untreatable cancer 12 years ago. It's a miracle, and nobody knows it. It's the testimony. The blood of God has come upon me and has washed me and cleansed me and healed me, and I give all praise and honor and glory to Him. Amen and amen. Nobody can argue your testimony. No one can argue your testimony, but they'll want to argue doctrine with you all day. Don't get caught in the trap. Share your testimony. Share the blood of Christ. Are we willing to let Jesus Christ become Lord of our lives, to interrupt our life when He desires, to use our testimonies to allow the healing waters to flow through us? Because that's really what He desires to do. Seeking to renovate and release out disciples. John 4, 31 through 38. The disciples were praying, and they encouraged their master. They said, "Master, eat." But He said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is not to do the will of Him that... My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Say not you, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto eternal life, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. I sent you to reap in fields where other men labored, and you are entered into their labors." Jesus taught His disciples, and we need to really, quite honestly, be taught ourselves. We need to just teach ourselves to do the will of the Father. It's nourishment enough. If you're thirsty and you do the will of the Father, it's nourishment enough. Do the Father's will now, and say not 4 more months. This is the time when this community needs Christ. This is the time. Do the Father's will now and receive wages and rejoice in that. Reap and sow now and you'll receive. Do the Father's will now and honestly respect the labors of those that went before you. Just respect it. Honor it. And even Jesus Christ and all He's done. What happened when Jesus took a side route through Samaria? Revival broke out. That's what happened. She went and she told everybody in the town, "Come and see." And they did. What if we left here today, went out and told them all, "Come and see what Jesus has done. Come and see. Come and see." Are we desiring for revival to break out in our city? Are we willing to be that vessel that God uses to bring the revival? Because this lady went to the well that morning, not knowing her destiny. She arose at the dawn of the day and then ditched that idea and waited until the sun was fully up. And the light of a loving God, He revealed and healed all of her iniquity. What God reveals, God wants to heal. And then she got used of God. Maybe you're feeling like, well, can God really use me? Yes. 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 She went and brought revival to the whole city. God can use you to do that today. Will you stand with me in this house? I'm not going to ask the worship team to come this morning. Usually we have a time of altar and prayer. I'm going to pray over you, and believe God for His best. I don't know how you feel about all the social distancing and separation. And wash your hands. Cover your cough. Stay home if you're not feeling well. Let us know. We'll pray for you. Absolutely. I'm still going to go to the hospital and visit the sick. I'm still going to take oil and lay hands on them. I'm still going to pray a prayer of faith. So if you need something from your pastor, you let the staff or I know. We'll be there. You're not alone. But I believe each and every one of us is like this woman at the well today. We come looking for refreshment in the heat of the day. And Jesus gives us living waters. And when you feel like the tide is overwhelming you, when you feel like it's overwhelming to the point where it's out of control, know that you can abide in the shadow of the Almighty and there be safe. Precious Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for these your sons and daughters, O God. Touch them. Lord, I know that they are like artesian wells. They are under pressure, Lord God. I know that. We all feel the anxiety, the stress. There was one who told me this week, I feel it, but I don't know where it's coming from, and I don't understand why it's even here. It's just, I have anxiety. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let that spirit of fear go. Give us, Lord God, spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And I thank you for each and every one here. Protect them. Prosper them, Lord God, even as their souls prosper. And God, use them. Use them, Lord Jesus, in a great way to look up and see that the harvest is white and ready today. Let those living waters come out from their bellies and bring a refreshing. And as people said, amen.